So, Mike, why did you decide to do some five-minute TV shows?
Why did I decide to do some five-minute TV shows? I don't know. The idea when Richard came up with it last May or so, the idea seems somewhat enticing. I mean, and it's like cool to have a forum like that to come in and discuss whatever's on your mind. And it was something that Richard was really into, and I just wanted to help him out with it. You know, he was very passionate about it, and he's helped us through stuff. So, you know, his energy was what gave me the energy to want to do it.
Okay, what about your first movie, Delusions of Grandeur? What did you learn about movie making, and what's the worst thing you hate about movie making?
Delusions of Grandeur, well, first off, it was a deadline movie in the case that it was for a class.
A college class.
Yeah, and it was due on a certain date. So the time limit really, you know, how long we had to do it really put a damper on things because we couldn't wait around a lot of the time. And, like, when we did hold shoots, we had to do things, like, you know, quick. Like, we couldn't do as many takes as I would have liked on things, and I didn't get to direct as much as I would have wanted to because we had to, you know, move on to the next thing. But the time restraints alone were kind of crappy, and actors are a bunch of low-life
scum.
You can't trust an actor. Well, you can't trust people in general, but...
Did a lot of people quit on the first movie?
Well, not a lot of people. Like, one person in particular made things... Well, two people in particular made things harder than they needed to be. You know, just, like, not showing up, you know, excuse after excuse. And finally, after waiting, we just figured out a way around them. We booted the one girl. That's how Tamara got involved in the project.
Right.
And the other person, we just cut his role down. So, well, he suffered from that because he could have had more exposure. But, oh, well.
All right, well... I saw your movie Something Anything. I got to admit, it was an improvement, and it was pretty good considering the time constraints. And what do you think is better about Something Anything compared to the first movie?
Something Anything, I think, was a lot more... Well, it was more developed storyline-wise because I was working with a co-writer so I could bounce ideas off of him, Rich Viola. And I like the characters a lot more than I like the delusions of grandeur characters. I felt that we came up with, you know, more diverse, you know, characters.
And with some strange personalities, especially that guy named Elton.
Elton? Yeah, yeah. Well, he was supposed to be kind of like the comic relief in there. I think the whole underlining thing is that all these people were kind of like misfits. And, I mean, Elton really stood out from the rest of them.
What did this Elton guy call himself? 1,000 pounds of Spanish.
2,000 pounds of Spanish. Tom...
goofed it up, huh?
Yeah, but we needed Elton. We created the character. He was supposed to be, you know, like kind of over the top, little stupid, you know, comic relief. And Rich took it upon himself to come up with kind of like, well, in this case, a one scene catchphrase for Elton. You know, something memorable. And since it's Elton, you know, like Elton, like El being a Spanish.
Yeah.
Pence or whatever, you know, 2,000 pounds of Spanish, Elton. Yeah, it was Rich's doing.
And you had a girl on there that was on a web?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was from another script, the script before Something Anything. The one character was supposed to be like that, was supposed to be a college student getting tuition money, running a naked website. And I don't know, I like the idea. And on the sole basis of that, maybe that scene where the Chinese guy comes in and recognizes her. But, yeah, well, it is. I felt that, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, or heard a lot of stories about, you know, girls actually doing this to make money. So I felt it had to be hit.
All right, so are you thinking of doing a sequel? to see how this Scott Chase does. Does he waste his life, turn to drugs, or does he actually try to be a respectable journalist?
I don't know about a sequel. Maybe somewhere along the line, you know, down the road somewhere. But I just took it at the end that Scott, yeah, he did take the lessons he learned in this past semester editing school paper into becoming a respectable journalist. I think, I don't know if a sequel is going to be in the works. But
what's your plan for your next movie?
Well, right now we're in the writing process, the planning process. We have ideas here and there for the next movie. We have a working title for it, but I don't know exactly if I want to give that out because it's something.
What is this, a top secret? Is this an FBI project or CIA project? I mean, well, what's going on here?
Well, I don't like to give out ideas until they're complete.
What? Why? Because if you do, somebody's going to shoot you?
Well, it was. Well, take this for example. Richard, I was telling Richard about Something Anything as it progressed, and there were storylines in the movie like that I was discussing with him that didn't come out, you know, that we switched around. So I don't want to be discussing things
but don't you want feedback?
Amongst writers, yeah.
So I'm not good enough for feedback?
Well, not on a taped interview.
Why? You can't give the title anything? I mean...
Well, I'll give a little bit of a synopsis, a working synopsis of it. Is that good enough?
Well, let's hear the synopsis, and I'll tell you.
All right, well, right now the working synopsis is that we got three male leads right now, and they're all in different points in relationships in their life, you know, like relationships with females.
But are these people that just graduated from college?
We haven't worked that out yet. Yeah, around that age, though. It's like, yeah, college age, you know, like just, you know, in the midst of it or just getting ready to graduate. But the one guy is whipped by his woman, and he kind of just succumbs to it. The other guy is kind of like completely against that, against, you know, women's oppression. He wants to be free. And the other guy is kind of like in the middle of them. He like hears like stuff from both of them and is trying to form his opinion.
And why don't you throw in a guy that's controlling, that controls women, that calls them every 10 minutes on the cell phone?
That sort of be the whipped guy.
She's controlling him.
That'd be sort of the opposite of the whip guy. He would be the one that controlling.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. That's an interesting idea. That could kind of be that other character we were discussing, the one based on.
So, Marshall Stanley could play that.
Yeah.
Well, how about also a guy that's like a goody two shoe that's so deeply religious and. Just decided to be, he's going to be a virgin until he gets married and he's deeply religious.
These could be secondary characters along the way, but the main characters are the three, the whipped guy, the not whipped guy, and the guy who's kind of like stuck in the middle. And, you know, they come across like females, you know, different, you know, you get like a different perspective.
So are you going to finally take my advice and have a bar scene in one of your movies?
Yeah, we'll have a bar scene this time around. We will.
You will definitely guarantee it?
Yeah, I guarantee we'll have a bar scene. I don't know about basketball, but a bar scene we'll have. It does. It fits in with the story, though. And this is the first story that I'm fully co-writing with someone because Rich came in the middle of Something Anything.
Right.
And so this is the first time I'm actually working with a coworker, and it seems to be a lot more fun this time around having someone collaborate with.
Is this finally one movie that you're not going to do for a college course where you don't have no time constraints?
Yeah, we're not going to deal. We're going to have more time to go through this. We're not going to rush through it. You know, we're going to take our time writing it, take our time casting it, take our time filming it. And
are you going to take the advice of that famous director, Greg Sterlacci, and just direct, just concentrate on directing and focus on the directing job?
Well, in a way, yeah. I am. I have like a little bit of a character in there, but overall, I do want to oversee this project a little bit more than the other two because there's like flaws that I could not help in the past two movies because I was behind in front of the camera instead of being behind the camera, you know.
And you're going to have more people involved, so you can't have that same guy where you got to take the shot and cut off the head playing all these extras.
yeah, we're going to... Well, since this isn't for a college course, we're going to have more, you know, time to get people to actually play the roles. You know, with this, it was like, all right, well, we got to film this scene today. What are we going to do, you know? Oh, all hell, we'll just use him again. You know, so, yeah, we're not going to be recycling people in interesting ways like we did with Something, Anything.
So what famous director do you model yourself after?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Alfred Hitchcock? Orson Welles? Robert Redford? Woody Allen? Because somebody said to me, Woody Allen, because the two characters in your movies, they were sort of like how Woody Allen plays, where he acts like a wimpy guy that has difficulty with all these things.
Well, I do. I mean, I haven't seen every Woody Allen movie or anything, but the ones I've seen, I've really enjoyed. Directors that I've liked, well, movies that I've really liked, Midnight Cowboy is one of my favorites. I like John Schlesinger, who directed that. I do like what William Peter Blatty did with Exorcist. Another one that I really liked was High Fidelity, directed by Stephen Frears. So that's kind of like a diverse, you know.
What about Spielberg and Coppola?
Spielberg, I like his stuff, but he's a little too hyped up for me.
You're not going to tell me like that famous director, Greg Sterlacci, that you're a hell of a lot better than Spielberg and Coppola, that those guys suck.
I don't know if Greg's being facetious with that, but I think if he really actually does believe that, he kind of fits in with our first movie, Delusions of Grandeur. No, and I think Coppola, I mean, I think he's a little bit long-winded, too. All of his movies have to be a long epic, and that's not necessarily true. I mean, I sat through Apocalypse Now, Redux, which was the extended version of it, and I had to piss the whole time, first off, and second off, it was just too long and wasn't going anywhere.
What about the Godfather movies, then?
I've never seen any of those.
You never seen any of the Godfather movies? The movies that a lot of people think are the best movies ever made?
I work in an Italian restaurant, so
Well, I think you should still watch them because you might do something that's totally wrong. They might send a hitman after you.
I think I've learned all the lessons.
They might
make
you an offer you can't refuse.
I've caught
them,
don't worry.
So, anything else?
I was going to ask, what are some of your favorite actors?
Favorite actors? Dustin Hoffman. He's one of my favorites of all time. I like John Cusack.
Johnny Depp
is really good. William Dafoe.
Some of your favorite musical groups?
Oh, of course, the Beatles. I think almost everybody would say that.
Beach Boys,
Brian Wilson, Elton John, a certain part of his career when he was still productive. ABBA, a little bit. Chicago. There's a whole bunch. I listen to everything.
Why do a lot of these artists think you got to get on drugs to help your art? Like, it seemed like Brian Wilson felt that.
Well, when he got involved with the drugs, I think that was, like, what the time was, you know. Those were what people felt the artists needed to expand and whatnot. Nobody was screwed up on them yet, so nobody saw really the bad effects of them. It was just with the time, I think, and just with him, he had too many psychological problems that he couldn't handle what he was doing. So,
what's your favorite late night snack?
Late night snack? I don't. Oh man,
that's not honest.
I don't. It fluctuates.
Who's the one person you would want in a foxhole with you?
In a foxhole,
probably Elton, right?
Oh yeah.
Make you laugh at least.
An attractive female. I don't know.
What do you do when you get writer's block? No. A few minutes left.
Yep. I usually just stop. I don't kill myself over it. I just stop. I'm like, all right, well, this isn't coming out, you know. No use beating yourself up over it. You know, just maybe wait around till you pick it back up again.
What do you think when I get writer's block? I do things like take a long run, take a long walk, play basketball, tennis, football, something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Read that's, great quotes.
Yeah, that's all therapeutic. That could get you through it. And I listen to music or something like that, you know.
Who are some of your favorite writers?
Writers?
Steinbeck?
Steinbeck. I've really enjoyed Hunter S. Thompson lately.
George Plimpton?
I haven't read him.
Well, what do you think about George Plimpton's idea that he played quarterback for the Detroit Lions and Baltimore Colts? He felt that the best way to write about something is actually experience. He was actually a NHL goalie for a while, a pro NFL football player, in a boxing room with a pro boxer. Do you think you would like to do that in the future?
Pro boxing?
No, I'm saying actually experience something like being an NFL quarterback or a pro boxer, so you would actually get the real knowledge of how what they're going through.
It's possible. It's possible. I'm not against it. It sounds interesting enough, but I just got to feel things out and see if that ever appeals to me.
Where do you prefer to write? At a kitchen table, in a den, outside in a park?
It doesn't matter. Wherever I feel, you know, wherever I get hit, I could do it in public places like casino or something like that, or strip club. I could do it at work. I could do it at school. I could do it, you know, sitting at home. Not usually at home. I'm usually in a public area, you know.
So what have you written at a strip club, I wonder?
Quite a bit of good lyrics that didn't pertain to strippers.
People think you're weird trying to write something in a strip club?
I don't care. I don't care. Strip club review.
Strip club review.
Well, I do got to throw in a correction now. I said William Peter Blatty directed Exorcist. It was William Friedkin. William Peter Blatty wrote the book Exorcist,
yeah,
and then
both.
The screenplay. So... yeah, no, I don't care if people think I'm weird. I mean, I'm already weird, so who the hell cares what people think?
What do you like to write? Poems, short stories, movies?
Sometimes. I used to write a lot of lyrics, but I've kind of put that on the back burner right now. And since I've been working on the movies, because that's my outlet that seemed to be getting out to the public right now. So maybe if I had any more time, I'd teach myself more of an instrument. And
well, can you recite one of your poems or sing one of your songs?
No.
Just the short version?
No. That's fine.
If Elton threatens to kill you, would you do it?
No. Elton's nonviolent. No, I still...
still won't do it, huh?
No. If I had something really good, I would, but... no.
What motivates you to write? Real bad things like suicide or happy things?
Well, it's usually somewhere in the middle. If I'm really pissed off about something, you know, or down, that's when I usually write, you know, to maybe boost myself up, you know, feel that I have some worth or whatnot, or to try to impress shady wenches, shady females, to show them that I'm better than the shady guys they go out with.
I guess we better stop this at the interview at Shady Wenches. Luckily, we ran out
of
time.
Which may be the title of the new movie. Actually, you got it out of me.
Shady Wenches. All right, so thanks a lot for the interview, Mike.
Oh, thank you for interviewing me, Jim.
And good luck with your next movie.
Thank you, Jim.